Well, good evening to everybody. I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to come and tell you a little bit about Camp Lailolai. Now, at the beginning, our brother said Camp Lailolai, and he used one of the very many variations in the name of the camp. We hear a lot of different ways that the camp is named. Camp Liloni is a favorite one. Lili Lo. We get all the combinations. And many people feel like that name, because our camp backs up to the Seneca Reservation, that it is an Indian name. It sounds like an Indian name, Camp Lailolai. But does anybody know, perhaps outside of our brother Tim, what Camp Lailolai, what the name Lailolai stands for?
Is it light, love, and licking?
Yes, right. Life, yes, right. Love and light. Life, love, light. And the life, the love, and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the purpose that Camp Lailolai, we've been there for 61 years. Last year was a big year for us, our 60th anniversary. For 60 years and 61 years, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless Camp. That's our purpose, is to bring the life, the love, and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to the campers that come there every year. Now, we have a mission statement, and so I might ask our brother, or maybe others, if they know what the camp mission statement is. We have a twofold mission statement. I won't put you on the spot over there, because we've got them posted all over camp, and I ask people all the time, and they say, I don't know what it is, and it's like it's everywhere. But the mission of Camp Lailolai is to present, okay, I'm being given signals back here, is to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching of God's Word to children, to youth, and to families. And we do it in a rural camp setting. That's our real mission statement. That's our full statement. And we are really a rural camp setting. If any of you ever want to come and visit us, we are on just under 500 acres, and we're up, kind of butted up against the almost the Allegheny State Park in the southwestern corner of New York State. And we'd love it if you're ever in the area and you want to stop by and visit us. We'd love to have you come by. But that's our mission statement. And we have that twofold mission statement because every year we get two kinds of people that come to camp. We get those that are saved and those that are unsaved. And so we want to make sure that before every camper goes home, every single week, they can say and they can know with certainty that they heard and understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they may not always make a decision. And we have many campers that come to camp every year. Some of them have been there year after year, and they have never made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray that they will. But we don't want them to not make a decision because they didn't hear the gospel. And so we try to build programs that are creative and that are interesting and that are fun and are memorable. But if in all of those things we lose the message, then we haven't met our goal at all, to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the bigger number of people that come to camp are people that have already made a decision, made a profession of faith. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're living for Him. And yet, like each one of us here who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our growing is not done as believers. And so our prayer every week is that none of us will leave camp the same people that we arrived. So even if we've been in the faith for a long time, if we've been walking with the Lord for many years, that our lives will continue to be changed and molded and shaped into something that the Lord Jesus Christ would want for us. And so what I want to do tonight, we're going to... lost the clock. Do we have a clock? Oh, there. Okay. That big giant one? Okay. Now I see it. Okay, so we're going to split our time tonight. What I wanted to do is go to the Word of God. We're going to look at a few verses in the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter, This is something we've been thinking a little bit about recently, and then what I'd like to do, we'll just spend a few minutes here talking about Thanksgiving and the things that we've been blessed by, and just wonderful things that we had just a minute ago. These songs have all been great reminders of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to show you just a few pictures and slides of what our summer was this year. Some of the things that were accomplished there at camp this summer. So let's go to the book of 1 Peter. We'll pick up in chapter 1. And I would like to start in verse 3. And we'll just read a couple of verses together. And then we'll be kind of moving through the first chapter and maybe a little bit into the second chapter, just with a verse here or a verse there. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we'll just stop there for a minute, because truly that is the message of salvation. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so that's the message that we try to start every summer, every week of summer, is that that we have been blessed. We have been blessed by God himself, and we've been blessed according to his abundant mercy. Now, why would we need mercy? Why would we need? That's a question we want to ask the kids. Why would we need mercy? It's because we're lost sinners, unable to save ourselves, unable to make ourselves right before God. If we cannot make ourselves right before God, there is nothing that we can do. There is no action we can do. There's no turning over a leaf and trying to do better. There's no way that we can live and make ourselves right with God. It is only because of his abundant mercy that we have faith. And it says that we've been begotten again to a living hope. And so we have to recognize, and our campers do too, that we are all lost. We are dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. And the only way that we can make ourselves right is to be born again. So we've been born again or begotten again to a living hope, and that hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that talks about, it's a wonderful verse, that, you know, there's a debate going back and forth about resurrection, and is the truth of the resurrection, is it true or not? And Paul makes the statement that if we have hope only in this life, then we are of all men most miserable, most pitiable. We have no hope. And so all of we believe, everything we have in our faith is founded, its foundation is on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have been blessed beyond anything that we can ever hope to have accomplished on our own. It is all through him and none through ourselves. And of course, if you read through the remainder of this part of the chapter, there's just wonderful things here about what we've been given because of our faith. We've been begotten again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and so on and so on and so on. Wonderful things. Just great place to go on a Thanksgiving week to think of all that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to go on to a little bit further down the same passage, picking up in verse 13. And it's saying here that because of all of these blessings that we have, because of all that we've received through God and through our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And of course, that goes on with a little bit more explanation beyond that too. And so here's the challenge to us as believers. If we are the people that we read about in verse 3 of chapter 1, if we are those ones who have been blessed and begotten again, born again, our lives should be different. And how should they be different? It says they're to be holy. Isn't that an amazingly difficult thing for us to be? We are not holy people.
we cannot be holy people without the power of God, and yet we're called to be holy. And it says there that we're to conduct ourselves throughout the time of our stay here, or our sojourn, or our visit here on earth, in fear. And so we serve a God who is a faithful God, but he is also a righteous God. And we should be living our lives in holiness before him. It says conducting ourselves throughout the time of our stay here in fear. Often when we read the word fear in either the King James or the New King James Version, we're talking about something that is reverence. We're to fear the Lord in reverence. But you know, there's also a thought as we read this that we should be living our life before the Lord in fear. He is a righteous God, a holy God. And so we measure the things that we do every day. We measure the things that we're involved in every day. And as we go down the passage, and we're, again, not going to go through this, but again, our lives should be governed and focused on love. And so he goes down to verse 22. He says, since, or because of, and because you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so that's how others, we read that in other parts of the New Testament. Others will know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ if we love one another. And if we love him, and if we demonstrate that love to him. So how do we demonstrate our love to one another? And we'll pick up just a couple verses here at the beginning of chapter 2. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Those are the things that we do in order to show the love that we have for one another and the love that we have for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word there that says laying aside is really the same word for taking off, for stripping off. And we find that in several other places in the Word of God, that there is a taking off and a putting on. We're to take off the things of this world, all of the ugliness of this world, the things that are part of our lives. We find it in Romans, we also find it in Colossians. Taking off the things that are of this world, but putting on the things that are of him. And that's a daily thing, something we've got to do constantly and daily. And no matter what age we are, it's required of us. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to think, oh, I can't wait until I get older because it'll be much easier for me to be a Christian when I'm older. Than when I'm younger, because you know, I had all these temptations when I was younger. Well, I have just as many problems now, maybe more. The evil one, the enemy, doesn't care whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s. He is there to stumble you, to stumble us. And so, regardless of our age, we have to be constantly laying aside the things of this world and putting on the new things. It says here we're going to lay aside all malice. And you know that word really means all evil, every kind of evil there is. And you know that's a lot, especially in the world that we live in today. We're surrounded by evil. We don't want any of that to be a part of who we are. All deceit, trickery, crookedness in our speaking. You know, sometimes we have a way of manipulating certain things because we want to do something, and so we will speak to people in a deceitful way, but we justify it because we're believers. You know, we want to have our lives transparent before the Lord. We want to have nothing in our lives that will be deceit or trickery. It says there, hypocrisy. You know, one of the greatest criticisms of many Christians, by those that are not believers, is that I won't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Of course it says. We're all hypocrites. I mean, the world is full of hypocrites. And what better place for hypocrites to be than in the church, finding out how they can have their lives changed. But you know what? The world is right in many ways. The word that we have for hypocrisy or hypocrite really means the putting on of a mask, like an actor might do, playing a role. And you know, even as believers, sometimes we're pretty good at doing that, playing a role. To everybody that looks at us around here, everybody looks great. We've got a good-looking group here, and you all look like fine and wonderful people. But we don't know the heart of you. Only you know your heart, and the Lord knows your heart. And are we living a life that is alive? Are we hypocrites inside? Envy is the next one there. And you know, we just sang that song, you know, count your blessings. It's a wonderful thing to do, to count our blessings. But they say that the word envy really means when somebody counts everybody else's blessings, not our own. You know, we look at how people have been blessed. Oh, the Lord has helped them, they've blessed them, and they've got this, and they got that, and we start counting other people's blessings. The Lord wants us to count our own blessings, not to become envious of other things. And usually the things that we're envious on are temporal things, passing things, things that have no lasting value. And then lastly, it says there, as put aside all evil speaking, which could be malicious gossip, you know, just talking about one another, just talking about ways that are not honoring to the Lord. And the source of our strength in all of this, it says, is it's through the Word of God. As newborn babes desire the pure milk, the undiluted, the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If we have tasted that the Lord is gracious in our hearts, in our lives should be different because of that. And so I just want to leave those few verses with you, and then we're going to touch just a little bit on Camp My Low Life. I wanted to share a few things with you. We lost our... Okay, we'll... what I wanted to tell you is a little bit about our summer program, how the program works. And then hopefully we'll have some pictures up here that can show you a little bit about camp and some of the people that are involved there. And we're already thinking, of course, about the new year and how these same programs will be working this year. We have a lot of campers that come to camp that have been sent there. We work a lot with the counties. We have kids that come from foster programs and the county systems, and they come to camp. What a wonderful opportunity for them to come and be in a place where they will actually have people that love them and care for them, but also will share with them the truth of the gospel. It'll take a second. I think we'll be up enough. If we've got two lights underneath, we should be good. We're still good there. So let me tell you what, just every summer we have a theme, a theme that is kind of the overarching theme that takes us from the beginning to the end. Last year our theme was found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, so I'll just read that verse to you, a couple of verses for context here, and again, things that we have received as believers. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Here we are, we're up.
Okay, so here we have Camp My Low Life 2014. So let me just kind of scroll through, but that was our theme last year, is to present to our campers the one who is faithful, the one who is a faithful promise maker and promise keeper. Many of our kids come to camp in the summertime, and every person that has ever made them a promise has broken that promise. They've betrayed them. They've promised to love them, to care for them, to meet their needs. And they've broken all of those promises. And we want to introduce them to the person who never breaks a promise, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was our theme last year.
Let's see.
Okay, so just a couple of numbers. We typically, for our campers, we have other groups that come throughout the year, but this would be for our camp sessions. We generally are somewhere between 750 and 800 campers a summer. That averages around about between 120 to 160 campers a week. And then to support those, we typically have anywhere from 100 to or maybe 80 to 120 staff members. We have almost a one-to-one ratio in some of the weeks that we have there. And every one of those staff members that comes to work in the summertime are volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have nobody other than the couple of families that live there year-round, our property manager and assistant property manager. So all of our cooks and maintenance people and lifeguards and wranglers and counselors and speakers and everybody that comes there is a volunteer. And so we need to pray very hard that every year the Lord will bring the right people to us that are willing to come and serve alongside us in this ministry that the Lord has given to us. And so last year, the last couple of years, we've actually seen an increase in the numbers, which we've been very encouraged by. You know, it's the camping world is a very difficult one for many people right now. Many camps are seeing a declining numbers at camp. And there are many camps, because of regulations and other things, are almost at the point of closing. And in fact, they are closing. We've heard of a number of camps that have had to close because of the increased oversight and the deteriorating facilities and just the lack of money that often comes to them. But God is good to us and has continued to be good, and He brings people. Last year, and typically every year, we have about the same ratio. Of all of our campers, about 30% of them are new campers that have never been there before. Some of them are brought by other campers, which is wonderful. We always like to have campers that come that have brought by somebody else, a friend or another person. But an interesting fact here is that probably also about 30% of our campers are Canadian. So I don't know if there's a link between the lost campers and the Canadian campers, but there's about the same number of each. But we're very grateful. We're very close. We're about an hour and a half south of Buffalo. Unfortunately, this week we missed that storm that came through. We had only about 7 or 8 inches of snow when they had 7 or 8 feet of snow up in Buffalo. But about 30% of our campers are new, and they come from the area. Last year we had just over 30 campers saved. And these are ones that make professions that we know of. We're sure that there are many more. I think eternity will be where we find out exactly what happened at camp every summer. We're very grateful for that. And for us, the other measure that we always have is how many times did we have to go to the emergency room during the summer. It was a very good summer. I mean, maybe 2 times to the emergency room doesn't sound good, but for us, that's very good. 1 week we had, this was a couple of years ago, the person that was our driver that took the campers to the emergency room was the busiest person at camp. I think we had at least one person every day in the course of a week, and sometimes more than one. But this year the Lord blessed us greatly. The campers were great. They didn't try to do anything crazy to put themselves into dangerous situations. And so we're very grateful for that good measure. So we appreciate your prayers for camp, for safety, and for the gospel, and for our volunteers as they go out. So let me just give you a couple of quick things for just thinking about this summer. These are our speakers this summer. We begin and end our summer sessions with a family camp. We have a family camp week. We had Dan Smith from Emmaus and Sandy McKechnie were our two speakers. And this year we actually had a fellow who's from the Rift Valley Academy who came the one day. And it was just interesting, our brother spoke this morning from Jeremiah about the potter, and he's a potter. He teaches art at the Rift Valley Academy in the Africa, and he came and did a little lesson on pottery. And he actually did it from the perspective of the clay. Just as you were talking about this morning, the clay was being molded and shaped and wedged and all the other things you told us about this morning, and it didn't like it. And it kept complaining. It said, I don't want to be kneaded anymore. I don't want to be shaped anymore. I don't want to be... And then as soon as the wheel started running, you know, bits of clay were flying everywhere because it didn't yield to the potter's hands. And as soon as the potter took control, the clay, it was a wonderful message. And he was a potter that came and showed us how that works. But that would be our family camp, and that happens for the first week of summer every year. And then we have our... I might try and stay over here. We'll have our preteen camps. We have 3 weeks of preteen camp. That's for those that are 8 to 13. Our director is Art Manning. Some of you might know the Mannings from Emmaus. Art has been there for quite a number of years. Bobby Halick, the fellow in the red sweatshirt here, is actually our speaker, but we also put him to good use flipping burgers on the grill. Bobby is a full-time worker up in the Ontario area. This is one of our great, you'll remember, Choose the Right Door. Choose the Right Door, and we do every single day, where the children are given questions based on the lesson from the previous day or the previous night. And if they can answer those questions, and they answer them correctly, they can choose a number. They go up to the top there, and behind those doors are either prizes or surprises. And so the prizes are wonderful prizes, and the surprises are often like this little girl, or this little guy rather, when he won himself a surprise was a water-filled balloon that he had to sit on. And he was allowed to invite several of his friends to come and sit around his chair while he sat on that balloon. So that was the moment that the balloon burst. Someone was able to catch it. That was a great, fun day. Our preteen two, one of our busiest weeks. Here's the kids. You see some of the activities. A lot of kids there. About 150 to 160 kids every week in our preteen two, and enjoying the experiences of camp. The pool with our lifeguards, and even up on our zip line. We have a new zip line that was put in a couple of years ago. This is what camp looks like from the top of the valley looking down. Just really one of the most beautiful places we think, and we visit a lot of camps, and we always come back to Camp Lailoa, happy to be serving there. Preteen 3, another week. Gary Foster is our director that week. But every week just has a different personality, a different feel. Each director each week plans his own week, plans his own presentation, plans his own activities. And so many of the kids have come for years and years to the same week just because they love and appreciate the director. But it consists of many of these things, friends and Bible study and music. All of them bring them back to camp over and over. Our team week this year, we actually, if you can guess what we have, I don't know if anyone would like to guess what that structure is up in the top left-hand corner for you.
Berlin Wall?
Not the Berlin Wall. We did the story of Nehemiah. And so they built the walls of Jerusalem. And they actually did it using PVC pipe and cardboard boxes. And so for months ahead of time, people would be sending down cardboard boxes to camp, just trying to store hundreds and hundreds of boxes. And then they built a gate. And they were, you know, we have the fish gate and the horse gate and the water gate and all these different gates. And so they built their own city of Jerusalem there out of PVC. It was a great lesson, and they were able to do that. And then, of course, they had some of them who were acting as the, Sam Ballett, Tobiah, and all the rest of it, who came around mocking them and trying to disrupt the work of the Lord. But our goal is to try and bring the Bible alive for the campers. Many of them, this is an introduction to the Bible. They have never had the Bible before. They don't know the lessons of the Bible. But even for those of kids that have grown up in Sunday school and do know them, we want to give them a great appreciation of what the Bible means and really have it come to life for them, especially some of these great Old Testament stories. Our team 2 week, we did something a little bit different. They did Ephesians chapter 6. And so we did the armor of the Lord. And as a little special event, they were able to bring in two people that did jousting for us, showing, and they spent about an hour with the kids just talking about the helmet, talking about the armor, talking about the swords and all the other things that we would have in our lives. So again, something that was very memorable that the kids will remember for a long, long time. And then our last week of summer camp, we call it the summer roundup. And summer roundup is a little different from the other weeks. The kids are able to pick a specialty. And we have things like horse riding, crafts, they can do ropes, archery, riflery, a number of other things. And they get to really focus in on that topic for the week. And so a normal week of camp, they might be able to go horse riding, you know, once a day for like a 20-minute or a 30-minute trail ride. When they do the summer roundup, and if they pick horses, they will spend 3 or 4 hours a day down at the corral. They'll be teaching them how to groom the horses and how to feed the horses and do a little bit more and they'll go out many, many trail rides. And then that's also part of our zip line, the kids up on the on that tower. So a lot of fun for the kids and a real focus. But the other thing we build into this one is that in addition to the two chapels that they have, morning and evening, everybody also does an additional hour of Bible study every day. So it's a wonderful week, and the kids really, really enjoy it. We love the feel of it. And then that was our final week of family camp weekend. Our speaker this year was Steve Price, this past year. Scott DeGraff will be our speaker coming in this coming year. But just a great way to round out the end of the year. to spend time in ministry and fellowship. And then lastly, this is our theme for the coming year. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so when we start talking about things like that for our campers, the first topic that we have to discuss with them is sin. You know, the world doesn't like to use that word anymore. It's a word that they like to avoid. You know, that it's not a sin. Nothing is a sin anymore in the world. And so we need to understand that God's way and God's truth is the way that we need to live our lives. And that sin is a reality. And that if sin is a reality, so is a holy God and a righteous God and a God that judges. But we have this, again, according to his abundant mercy, we have this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And a lot of kids live with guilt. You know, this summer was a very sad summer in some ways. We, not during the camp session, but afterwards, we had a young fellow that came to camp for a number of years. His parents were not believers, and they sent him to camp. And he seemed to enjoy it, loved coming, and was there from a preteen all the way up until a teenager. And the last year he came to camp, his parents had sent him to a new school. And so he arrived at camp. It was a school in New York, in Brooklyn. He arrived at camp declaring that he is now an atheist. He was really kind of a non-committal. As far as we know, he never made a profession, but now he was an atheist. And so he spent most of his time trying to talk others into, you know, challenging the faith of others. And it was actually a great year for many of our young people who for the first time were forced to defend their faith. And really, they did a great job of defending their faith. We also, our speaker that week was Chris Schroeder, so Chris and this young man had a lot of conversations through the summer, through the week. It was a great week. But we heard just a couple of weeks ago that this young man is gone. He lost his life. We're not sure if it was suicide. We're not sure what it was. It was on his Facebook, and you know, all of the kids that knew him you know, started posting things on Facebook about this young man. And even to today, we don't know what prompted him to take his life, or whether it was a drug overdose, whether it was intentional, or whether it was accidental. But he's gone. He's in eternity now. And we pray that maybe something that he heard at camp would have still challenged his life and changed his life, but we don't know that. But we were down at the Workers and Elders Conference a few weeks ago, about a month ago down in Florida. And during the one day, there was a prayer item that came up at one of the assemblies that asked us to pray for the family of one of their members. And their daughter, someone who had grown up in the assembly there, had, again, taken her own life. She was like 16 or 17 years old. And it's just incredibly hard to understand the kind of pressures that many young people are living under today. And I think it has a lot to do with sin, because they recognize in their heart that it is sin. But the world tells them that it's not sin. And so they're constantly conflicted about these things. And I think they feel guilt, but they don't know why they feel guilt, but they know there's guilt. And they're pulled in many, many different directions. And so pray for our young people especially. We pray for those that are not believers, but many who are believers also, that the Lord would keep them, protect them, and put a shield and a hedge around them, that they might be protected from the one who would seek to destroy them. And so we appreciate your prayers, and we just look forward to a great summer. The Lord blesses us and continues to bless us. And as I say, even now, we're beginning to plan and make the planning for the new year. Our next events, scheduled events, will be our winter retreats. And if the winter goes any much more like it's gone already, I think we're going to have some pretty good winter retreats. That'll be the last two weekends in January, a preteen retreat, and then a winter retreat, and then we're right back into the full season again. When we're not in camp session, we have chapels and other groups that come, churches, Christian schools, and others that come and use the facility. So we have just found it a great privilege to partner with them in their own ministries, and we pray that the Lord will bless those also. We're at 8 o'clock, which I think is our time, so if anyone has a question or two, otherwise we'll close in prayer. Good, thank you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just come before you at the end of this day, and we just give you thanks for your goodness to us. We thank you for the things that we've enjoyed today around your table and around your word. about the things that are important, the things that are eternal. We thank you that we have been blessed so greatly in so many ways, blessed with salvation, blessed with your presence, blessed with the Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for everything that we have as your children. We just pray that you would continue to be with us, to help us to live faithfully before you. Keep us close to yourself, we pray, and keep us close to your word. And Father, we pray that we might day by day mold and shape into the people that you want us to be. And so we commit this ministry here at Grand Rapids into your hands. We pray for the work at Northwest. We just pray that you would bless it and that many might be reached because of it. We pray the same thing for Camp Lailoa. Keep us faithful to you and to your will. We pray that all that we do and all that we say might be to your honor and to your glory. We pray these things again, our Father, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.